Genesis chapter 45 is where we're going to be at this morning. Genesis chapter number 45, and you can find verse number 25. And we're just thrilled to death to be able to be here this week. And boy, I've been blessed already, haven't y'all? I mean, that's just tremendous. The special music, really enjoyed that. If you didn't get blessed, I think your blesser's broken. That was a blessing. And I hope that, like I said in Sunday school, that you'll just keep coming out for all the special services. And y'all that stayed in Sunday school, you come again. Good job. Two services in a row, okay? And I hope that you'll come back tonight. Different message tonight, okay? So I hope that you'll come out. You know, some churches, they have the same message all day long, but different ones all throughout. And I know that can be a help to you because the Word of God's going to be preached. And so my prayer is that you'll come each night and that you'll draw a little bit closer to the Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter number 45, and let's look at verse number 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Last verse there that we read in verse number 28, we find that Jacob was just so overwhelmed, so excited that he thought his son was dead and is now alive. He felt so blessed that he couldn't help but just say, it is enough. The title of the message this morning is God is enough. God is enough. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, thank you so much for all the ones that came here. No doubt there are many things that could be on our minds here this morning. Whether it be things that happened before we come or things that need to happen later on today or on Monday. But Lord, I pray for these next few moments that we'll hone in on your word and your word alone, and that we'll walk out of here saying, truly, God, you're enough, and we'll make you the priority of our life. Lord, I pray that you be with me and that you fill me with the Spirit's power. I need your help this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Every year in January, I was able to take an evangelistic trip to New York City. And we go down to the subway system, and we basically pass out tracts. And as we're passing out tracts, we wear these aprons. I like to call them smocks, because they feel a little bit more manlier. And it says, prayer changes things on these smocks. And people will come by, and we pray with them about different needs that they have. And then we ask them, do you know for certain that you're going to heaven? And it's just been wonderful what the Lord's done in New York City over the years to be able to have been a part of. Well, I was able to bring my friend Brian with us one year. And it was going to be a little bit different because Brother Brian is in a wheelchair. And he said, Brother Matt, I want to go to New York City. You got to make it happen. And I said, all right, Brother Brian, we'll make it happen. I really wanted him to come. And he's a dear friend of our families. His whole family is. And so we're just trying to figure everything out. I would advise you, go to New York City, don't use the elevators going down to the subway. They're a little interesting, they smell funny and different things like that. So we're trying to map all the different elevators and where they're at. That year, it was extremely cold in New York City. So I would say half of the elevators we tried to use were froze up and did not work. So we would go out and try to find another elevator, and it was quite the adventure. Well, anytime our plans changed because an elevator wasn't working right or we decided to go do something and can't make it there, Brother Brian would always say to me, Brother Matt, on the last night we're here, remember, supper is with me and we are going to eat good and I'm going to pay for it. Well, Brother Brian didn't have to tell me that several times. He only needed to tell me that one time. And I would have said, no problem, I'll remember that supper. And so April and I went over and we got all the tracks all good to go and got everything packed up for the trip home. And we said, all right, Brother Brian, where are we going? He said, well, we've been looking at different reviews and things. Let's go down to Times Square. So we go down to Times Square, and off in the corner of Times Square, right where all the big screens are at, there's this restaurant called Carmine's. And, you know, you go into some restaurants, and you're like, ooh, this is going to be expensive. You know what I mean? And as me, as sort of a cheapskate, especially when it comes to food, I'm like, ooh, I'm glad Brother Brian's paying. We walk in and sit down, and they said, all right, whatever you want to eat, just look at the walls, because the walls have the menu on them. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a fancy restaurant, but it looked really nice. It looks better than like a staple, you know, with their menu. It was painted on and looked really good. And so we're trying to figure it all out. I'm looking around, and I said, whatever y'all want, let's just order it. Because they serve family style, and they bring a lot of food. One platter feeds, they say, 6 to 8 people. And we had about 7 or 8 people at the table. But Brother Brian is paying. You know what I mean? And Brother Brian, he wanted to make sure we ate good. And his wife wanted to make sure we ate good as well. There was probably 8 of us that were there. And they said, do you want an appetizer? And normally I always say, no, I don't need an appetizer. He goes, Brother Matt, you need an appetizer. Okay, we want an appetizer. Yeah, he said, we want chicken wings. I'm like, at this fancy restaurant, they're doing chicken wings? That's fine with me, don't get me wrong. And the chicken wings came. I took a bite of that chicken wing. I heard angels sing. And I took one bite and I went, this is the best chicken wing I ever had in my life. And I ate another one, and I ate another one. And I wasn't talking very much. You know what I mean? Business was getting taken care of. Well, everybody said, okay, let's go to the next. You all want a salad? Oh, yeah, we want a salad. And I noticed I had several chicken wings, but I noticed there were 4 left. And everybody else was like, oh, no, we can't eat anymore. These were the best chicken wings I've had in my life. My life! So we're not going to waste these bad boys. And I said, you're not eating those chicken wings. And I polished them off. And I want to make sure I was healthy, and I skipped the salad to make sure I was hungry for everything else. Well, instead of just ordering one platter, they order 3 platters. So there was chicken parmesan that came. Then there was lasagna that came. Then there was this chicken noodle mushroom, you have to ask my wife the name of it, thing came. I stayed away from that. And I tried the chicken parmesan. If I would go like to Olive Garden, that's what I would get, okay, is chicken parmesan. So I thought, I wonder how good this is. I took one bite. Have you ever ate something so good you don't want to swallow? But I looked at my plate and there was more, so I said, okay. I got it some more, and I just got some more, and they said, Brother Matt, have you had the lasagna? I can't eat another bite. They put the lasagna down, and I started eating, and I mean, I ate very, very well. Praise the Lord for elastic pants. I was very full. And I said, I can't eat another bite. I am so full. The chicken parmesan alone made Olive Garden, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it was like microwave dinner compared to what I had there. And they said, do you want dessert? Have you ever been so full, you're starting to sweat? And I mean, it was just, oh my, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do dessert. And the ladies started getting together, and they trying to figure out what dessert was going to come. And they said to the waiter, excuse me, sir, what is this thing called the Titanic? And it is a platter of desserts that they put down on the table. It was about this big, and this was the table, and about yay high, with cake and ice cream and anything you can imagine that's bad for you. It was there. And the Titanic sunk again that night. We were so full. I could not do any more. And I had to say, it's enough. I am good. It's a great feeling. Here in Genesis chapter number 45, we find that Jacob, who thought his son Joseph was dead, and his brothers come in and tell Dad, We need to tell you this. Joseph's not dead. And the Bible says he didn't believe them. You know, he knew they were pretty ornery and thought that Joseph died years ago. We know the story. And they said, no, look outside, Dad. All the wagons of stuff that he brought from Egypt and food and all these things. He said, that's what Joseph brought to you to prove to you he is alive and he's second in command of the most powerful nation, Egypt, at the time. His heart at first was fainted, but then his spirit, his heart revived. You know, my prayer this week is that your heart will be revived, that you'll draw closer to the Lord. His heart was revived. He was so encouraged. He was so blessed. He couldn't believe not only was his son alive, but he's got a lot of money and he's in charge and he has all this power. And he just said, it's enough. It's enough. And we find here, number one, that God blesses us enough. God blesses us enough. Now, this is not to say that Jacob or Joseph, for that matter, didn't go through hard times. We all go through hard times. But let me tell you something. God still blesses us enough. You know, the things that Jacob went through, and a lot of things you could argue is because how much of a trickster Jacob was, why he had such a hardship in life, but he thought he'd lost his son. He already lost one of his wives earlier. He's had some hardships in his life, but at the end, he could still say, it is enough. God's blessed me enough. You look at Joseph, if there is one thing time and time again that Joseph's dealing with is hardships. His brothers couldn't stand him. They sold him away to slavery. He's falsely accused. And he can still say, God is a good God, and he's blessed me enough. You find that he's in jail. Do you remember the story? And when he's in jail, there was the guy that was the cook, and then there's the guy that was the butler that had a dream. And he told the guy that was a cook, you're not going to last very much longer, you're going to die. But he told the butler, hey, you're going to get promoted back to where you were working with the king. Could you please remember me and bring that up to him? Do you remember that story? And the butler, of course, after he interpreted the dream, he said, of course I will. If you read the passage, he was in jail 2 more years. Wow. Talk about hardship. He didn't do anything wrong to deserve it. He finally thought he got a way out of it. And then he had to wait 2 more years. He had hope, and then it went away, I'm sure, after a while or after some time. But then all of a sudden, that Pharaoh had a dream. He couldn't interpret it. And then the butler just sort of went, oh, there's a guy in jail that I met 2 years ago that can interpret dreams. You want to talk to him? That would have been an interesting moment when Joseph met with the butler. How's it going, butler? I think I would have been a little sarcastic with him a little bit. We don't find any evidence of that. He simply interpreted the dream, and he was greatly blessed of God. You know, if you take a look about all throughout your life and think about all the goodness that God's done for you, you have to come to the conclusion, God has blessed you enough. The butler forgot about him. His brothers tried to forget about him. But my friend, God Almighty did not forget about him. And no matter what type of trial or tribulation or hardship that you're going through, my friend, God's not forgotten about you. God loves you. God's blessed you enough. I'm so thankful that, number one, God blesses us enough. Number two, God's help is enough. Turn your Bible over to John chapter number 6. Would you turn there, please? John chapter number 6. In John chapter number 6, starting in verse number 5, we find that the disciples and the Lord Jesus are having some problems. Of course, the Lord Jesus wasn't having any problems, but the disciples thought they were. Because all these people, 5,000 men were there, and they were hungry, and there was no food. John chapter number 6, and look at verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. Let me just stop right there. Jesus Christ always knows what to do. And I tell you, it would have been a stressful situation if any one of us was Philip right there. Here comes the 5,000 people. The Lord Jesus, look at him. What do you think we should do? I would say run. Get away from here. I have no idea. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, hey, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Oh, good, we got some optimism going on here in this story. But what are they among so many? Basically, he's saying, we're doomed. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. I'm so thankful to say that God's help is enough. What are we going to do? We've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And that's what this little kid's lunch is. How are we going to feed 5,000? Jesus said, bring it here. And at first, as he's breaking the bread or however he did it, to pass it out to everybody, I'm sure all those men that were there, have you ever looked around and said, there's not a whole lot of food here. I need to help out with portion control, right? But once we as men know that there's plenty there, we make sure we've had enough, do we not? Especially when it's free. And so they started breaking the bread, and who wants some more bread? And who wants some more fish? And who wants this? Who wants it? There's 12 baskets full left. Because God's help is enough. I do not know what you're going through, but I do know the God that we serve, and his help is enough. This past summer, I was over there working at camp, and as I was there, I was dealing with a guy that was just sort of struggling with some decisions, and it was an adult man right after the evening service, and so I was talking to him, and I kept on just getting phone calls, and I'm like, why does that guy keep calling me? Okay, yeah, sure, I'm sorry about that. He keeps calling me, and it was one of those deals, I really feel bad because the man was really telling me about his life, but my phone was the same guy over and over and over again keep calling me. So I said, I am sorry. Can I take this phone call real fast? I need to make sure, you know, there's not a fire or something. He said, oh, sure. And I answer it, Matt, we have a fire. I've got to go. And we went down to the dining hall, and the entire dining hall was covered in smoke. It was 9 o'clock at night. Couldn't see where anything was. We thought, where's the fire? What's going on? Well, it was an air compressor that shoots CO2 for the Coke machine that decided to catch on fire. And at first, we didn't know what in the world we're going to do, but God's help was enough. We opened up the doors, all the smoke went out, we took out the air compressor, we didn't drink Coke the next morning, but that's okay. God always provides. God always brings help. We have ladies retreat over at the ranch, and ladies are wonderful to deal with when they come to the ranch because they prepare and they call ahead and they say, hey, we're coming to the ranch, right? Men, they do not do that. And I remember on a father and son retreat, we picked up 50 people the day of the retreat. And we thought, what are we going to do? Where are we going to find food? Where are we going to get all this? And we went to the Lord, and guess what? We had enough. You know, I can give you story after story about my life. But the deal is, God wants to be a personal God in your life. Are you going to Him when those trials and tribulations come? I'm so thankful that God's help is enough. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's wisdom that you need. God's help is enough. We find God's blessings are enough. His help are enough. And lastly, in our time will be done, there'll be some times when God says that's enough. Turn your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, we find that David is tempted. And he is tempted to do a sin. It wasn't a terrible, awful sin, right? Once I read what he was provoked to do by Satan himself, none of you will be like, oh, wow, that sounds terrible. You know, Satan always doesn't try to get us to do terrible, awful sins. He's just trying to get us to sin, period. Because he wants your fellowship to be broken from God Almighty. And in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, in verse 1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. So this doesn't sound like a terrible, awful sin. He just said, go number the people. But the fact of the matter is, God told David, never number the people, because your trust should be in me, not how many numbers, how many people you have in your army. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. Now, I'm not a real big fan of Joab in the Bible, but this time he's got it right. And he says, what are you doing, David? Don't do this. And basically, David says, I don't pay you to talk or think. I pay you to do what I say. So go do it. Verse 4, nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000, 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 70,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them. For the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now, therefore, advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. Now, this is pretty rare where a person has an opportunity to pick what their punishment for their sin is. I never really got to pick my punishment as a young person growing up. But if I was able to choose which one, do you want to be grounded for your life? Or do you want to spank it, right? I normally would pick, okay, I'd rather do the shortest one possible just to get it done. And God says, either 3 years famine, 3 months for destroying from your foes, or 3 days of pestilence and the angel of the Lord wreaking havoc on the countryside. Which do you want? And David said, Lord, I can't choose. In the next verse, he said, don't let me fall into my enemies, but I'm not going to choose. Look at verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. 70,000 men died because of one man's sin. You know, your sin doesn't just hurt you. You don't know who it's all going to affect. Verse 15, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Sometimes God says that's enough when we sin. We're involved in some type of immorality. We're involved in doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. We're looking at things we're not supposed to be looking at. And finally, at some point in time, if you're a child of God, God's going to say, that is enough. And punishment is going to come your way. But I'm so thankful that when the punishment is over, God says, that's enough. And the punishment can come to an end. I'm also thankful that we serve a God in heaven, that when trials come into our lives, at some point in time, God says, that's enough. I'm just thankful that our God controls everything, aren't you? And maybe, Christian, you find yourself today, and God's trying to get your attention. What he's saying to you today, he's saying, come back to me. Come back to me. Your attitude is rotten. Come back to me. You're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Come back to me. Your thought life is terrible. Come back to me. You're a gossip. Quit that. Come back to me. I don't know what he's working on your heart about. It could be things I haven't even mentioned here this morning. But won't you come back to him? Won't you leave here changed? I'm so thankful that when I was 11 years old, I realized that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. It seemed like the evangelist that week preached on hell every single night. And I thought to myself, this evangelist needs to get a new sermon. But it wasn't that he was preaching the same sermon every night. It was the Holy Spirit of God preaching to me every night that I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior, and I was going to hell. I kept waking up my dad in the middle of the night. He was working 4 to 12, so 4 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight. And about 1:30 in the morning, I'd wake up, and I'm like, I'm going to die and go to hell. And so I'd go and I'd wake him up. Dad, I need to be saved. And he would get out his Bible, and he would show me how to be saved. And I would say, I'm fine, Dad. You sure? Yeah, I'm fine. So you go back to bed. The next night, the same thing. The next night, the same thing. The next night, the same thing. This is very random, but I heard a cat fight outside my window. And as an 11-year-old, and as an 11-year-old brain works, especially my weird one, I thought, those cats could jump in that window and kill me, and I'll go straight to hell. And I went running in, and I knocked on the door, and I said, Dad, I need to be saved. He said, listen here, boy. You're waking me up every single night in the middle of the night, right when I get to sleep. You're going to get saved, and you're going to get saved tonight. And I said, yes, sir. And I got saved, and I've been saved ever since. Do you have a story like that? Not about the cats and all that. That's beside the point. That's not the important thing. A time in your life you realized you were a sinner. A sin is anything you do, say, or think which displeases the Lord. We've all done, said, thought something which displeased the Lord. And because of that, we deserve punishment. For the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God in hell. Hell's not a party place. Hell's a terrible place. Hell's a place of fire. Hell's a place of darkness. Hell's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what we all deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift, so we don't have to do anything for it because Jesus has paid for it. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth and he was perfect. He didn't do anything wrong and he died on the cross for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave and God said, it's enough. You can have a home in heaven because Jesus Christ has paid for it. And maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to be saved. In just a few moments, we'll have an invitation. We'll just have a couple of verses. It's a big fancy word, but this is all that it means. I'll ask a couple of questions and I'll say, how many of you know that you're saved? Then I'll say, how many of you don't? And if you don't, we're going to invite you just to come down here the front. Nobody be looking around or anything like that. We won't embarrass you. You can walk right up to the pastor and say, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. And they'll show you from the Bible how you can know for certain you're going to heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome to see today? The Bible says, all of heaven rejoiceth over one person that gets saved. So let's start a party in heaven this morning, huh? If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ. But Christian, I want to speak to you in this invitation because you have not been living your life saying, God, you're enough. You have not been going to him for help. You have not been realizing how much he's blessed you. Maybe you've realized this morning he's trying to get your attention. You've fallen into sin and you need to get right with him. Won't you come down here to the front in just a few moments and get right with him? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions and we'll have a verse and an invitation song. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven, but Lord has been speaking to my heart this morning. When it comes to the blessings of God, I have not been realizing that God has blessed me enough. And God spoke to my heart about that today. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. Raise them up high. God bless you all. Several hands. Good. God bless you. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, God spoke into my heart today because I have not been realizing that God's help is enough? Please pray for me about those things. If that's you, would you raise your hand? God's help is enough in my life. God bless you all. Wonderful. Amen. I'll pray for you. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, God's been telling me that's enough? There's sin in my life I need to get rid of, and I know it. Please pray for me that I'll ask for forgiveness of it and change. If that's you, would you raise your hand? God, show me some things. God bless you all. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say this morning? I'm so thankful. There's a time I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and I know that I'm going to heaven. If you could say that, would you raise your hand? I know it. Great. You can put your hands down. Great. I don't think everybody was able to raise their hand this morning, so let me ask you this question. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell, and I'm just really struggling with that right now. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. I just don't know. God bless you. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, God bless you in the back. Yes, God bless you all back there. Yeah, I see your hand. Great. I'm glad you raised your hand. Anybody else? I just don't know. The ones that just raised your hand, nobody else is looking around. Would you look up at me if you raised your hand and you don't know if you're going to heaven? If you don't know if you're going to heaven, would you look at me? In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you, okay? And after I get done praying, the piano is going to play. And what I'd like you to do is just to come down here the front, walk right up to the pastor and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. If you're a lady will deal with you. If you're a guy will deal with you. And you can leave here knowing that you're going to heaven. All right? Would you do that? I'll tell you when to come. Everyone, would you look up this way? We're going to have a verse and invitation song. And we'll be singing Just As I Am, page 319. And after I get done praying and we start singing that song, Christian, I'd ask you to lead the way in this invitation. God spoke in your heart that you're not right with him in some way. Just come down here the front, get down on your knees and tell the Lord about it. Be specific as you can. There's about, I would say, five that raised their hand that just don't know if you're going to heaven or not. Don't leave here without trusting in Christ. So I invite you just to walk right up to Pastor and just say, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm going to heaven, and someone will show you from the Bible how to be saved in just a few moments. All right? Let's stand for prayer.